This is Hometown Heroes. Honoring everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, visiting today with a spirited pair of brothers from Wasco, California. David Crawford is 88, spent most of his adult life in Oklahoma, where he became a licensed pilot and pursued his passion for astronomy. But for the last few years, he's been back in Wasco with his older brother, Emery, who's 90 now and has been on the same farmland there since he was five, with the exception of 2 years in the Army during World War II. Emery, how did you feel about your little brother ending up in the Army? Were you a little concerned about him?
I didn't give much thought to it at the time where I was, but naturally I wouldn't want him in the service. The war was pretty well over when he went in, so I didn't have much concerns. Now, if they hadn't dropped that bomb over in Japan to end the war, there would have been a lot of service people die trying to take Japan.
Well, and that's what I was wondering. If, because you're still in Europe at the time when that bomb is dropped, but you know your brother's in the Army and training, probably to head to the Pacific.
I'm sure they were trading him for the invasion of Japan.
Right.
Yeah, that would be a big concern, yeah. There would be thousands and thousands of people killed on both sides trying to conquer Japan without that atomic bomb forcing them to surrender.
You proud of your brother?
I'm very proud of him. We've been living here, I think, going on 3 years now, isn't it? You know, where I go, he goes. Where he goes, I go almost. Very close. And we get along just fine. We don't argue as long as he minds me.
Tell me something about your brother that you admire, you appreciate.
Well, he's a very sensitive person. He's always taken up for me when I get in trouble. One time I had a fight. I don't know how I got involved in the fight. He says I had one. And I got a bloody nose, and I stopped, and he jumped in and took over where I left off. And then I got through, I could jump back in.
And that was just last month.
Not hardly. No, that was back in the lower grades, not even high school.
You know, with regard to the service, I know that you're saying it was no big deal, but the government gave you a Bronze Star. You must have done something. You said you weren't scared.
Well, I'd say I wasn't scared, but I didn't give much thought about death at that time.
But looking back now, with the lens of history and knowing that more than 400,000 Americans died, you've been to the World War II Memorial in Washington, you've seen all those gold stars, you know that dozens of guys from your own high school were killed in World War II. Do you look back and realize that maybe it was more dangerous than you even understood at the time, and that maybe somebody was looking out for you?
Yes, I have thought about that, that somebody was watching over me. You know, I wasn't a Christian back then, but later on, when I was about 29 years old, I put my faith in God, in Jesus Christ, and I know he was watching over me. There was a couple experiences before I went into service where I didn't understand how it was that I wasn't hurt. One time over at my uncle's, and he was planting cotton, I was sitting on the front of the planter looking down into his shoes to make sure the cotton seed was falling. And my cousin Roy was sitting up in the seat, and my uncle was driving the tractor, and I hollered and told him to stop, but I wasn't aware of any problem. But about that time, there was a jack shaft that had a big old nail through it hooked over, and it caught my belt and it squeezed me up. And I had eaten a big bait of red jello, and it all came out and run down over me. My uncle jumped off the tractor, and my God, and then run around and around the tractor and took off. And Roy, my cousin, he was several years older than me. He took his knife out and cut my belt, and all, but it didn't hurt me at all. So that was one time I didn't understand how it was that I hollered and he stopped. And because of that, I wasn't injured any more than I was.
Could have been killed?
Oh, yes, I could have been killed easy. Another time I came in on a tractor. It was a big L.A. Case tractor from the field that has been out working. We had a shed in the back half And on both ends, you could go around the shed into a yard. And on the other end, my father had potato seeds stacked up, and you couldn't get around that way. And when I come in, I went to go around the far end with the seed where I couldn't go. But if I had turned and went to this side of that shed, there was a big eucalyptus tree, and a big old limb fell down about the time I would have been under that. That gave me some thought.
Well, you think about those things and everything you went through in the Army, and if you didn't make it through all that, your kids and grandkids wouldn't be here, right?
That's right. I have 3 grandkids and 7 great-grandkids, and I've got another one on the road. So I'm just sorry that my wife couldn't be here to enjoy those great-grandkids, because she would have been really happy. But she died in 2004.
Is there anything else that you want to say about the men that you served with in World War II, whether it was from then or from what you've realized with all your interactions with Honor Flight, that you think is really important for the rest of us to understand about that time in our nation's history?
I think it's important that the generation nowadays do understand what we saved the world from, the domination of Germany, Italy, and Japan. I know it'd be a different world altogether, and I'm thankful for those servicemen that give their life, especially. Those are the heroes. And I'm thankful for those that have been able to come back from the service, that we have a chance to get together. The Honor Flight meet once a month for a reunion around a breakfast. That is very important to me and David. I've become acquainted with a lot of veterans that have much more experience than I had, of some being wounded and all. I'm thankful that I have this association with Honor Flight and the veterans that have been able to go.
What was the most meaningful part of the Honor Flight experience for you?
Well, I think the World War II Memorial, a very beautiful memorial. And when you look up at all the stars on there, which represents, I forget, what is it, 1,000 or people to each star that was killed, and see that and understand that how many lives were lost to save the world then. That was a great experience. I appreciate our congressman for spending his time for us when we were into the Capitol, and taking time to have a picture with each one of us separately. I really appreciated his time he spent with us.
Yeah, because he's the House Majority Leader now, Kevin McCarthy of Bakersfield, and there's a photo of you and your brother with him. Well, before I forget, I want to say thank you for serving our country, and thank you for telling me a little bit about what you've been through. Was there anything I didn't ask you about that you wanted to share?
I think I've said enough.
David, can you vouch for everything Emery said, or did he tell me any lies there?
Well, for a long time, I've never heard some of them stories he's been telling you. In other words, I guess he's kind of kept it into himself all this time. And
you mean just right now, some of the things he said you've never heard?
Yeah, yes it was. Some of them time he fired that mortar, I see he never did talk about that.
From your perspective, when your brother was over there in Europe, were you concerned about him?
Yeah, I worried about him while he's gone. And my mother, now she was definitely real worried about him all that time.
And then you end up in the Army, Camp Roberts out in Paso Robles, California. We're training there. And you heard your brother say he thought for sure you would have been in the invasion of Japan. Was that what you expected?
Yes, I was expecting that. Really, I wasn't expecting what I heard the sergeant say to us. He said, "Some of you boys aren't coming home." That's the first thought I ever had, that I might not make it. And, of course, when they said, "We're going to teach you to be killers," now I wasn't used to that kind of talk, or especially to all that profanity they use in the Army.
Never heard about that. What are you talking about?
They were combat infantrymen themselves. They've been over there and knowed about it. So they knew if some of the boys wouldn't be coming back.
And, you know, the government estimate said upwards of 1 million Americans would have been killed in an invasion of mainland Japan, and many more Japanese. So you were at Camp Roberts when the bomb was dropped?
Yes, I was at Camp Roberts. I was in the eighth week of training when they dropped that first atom bomb. And we had officers come over in their jeeps and get out and get us together and tell us about this big bomb they dropped over there. Of course, we all cheered. We were just tickled to death. And I'm still tickled to death.
Because you're alive. And you might not have been if they hadn't. You answered my question already, the reception that news got there. And then, you know, shortly thereafter, within 10 days, Japan had surrendered.
I know it was all over. I was getting ready to be shipped out, and that's when they changed all our clothing. We started issuing warm clothing. We knew we was going to go somewhere where it's cold.
Yeah, you'd go where it was real cold. Was that a relief to you, though? I mean, now we know when the war ended, but at the time, none of you knows when and if this war is going to end. So when you find out that the fighting is over and you don't have to be part of it, was that a big relief to you?
Well, of course, it's a big relief to us. All we had to do is go over there and occupy a little island out in the middle of nowhere, because it's an important place. They had an airport right there in the middle of the Aleutian chain. Them Japanese had started up them islands. We even had one body buried there on Adak where I was at. But some of them had quite a few Japanese that had been on them.
So you end up on the island of Adak in the Aleutians. Japan has surrendered. The war's over, but there's still work to do. So what kind of work were you guys doing? This is an army outfit up there at Adak.
Military police. We was guarding warehouses. I think we had three warehouses, and we had the main gate. We'd change guards about every couple hours.
How was the weather?
Terrible. I never seen so much wind and snow in my life. You know, with the wind blowing, it'd blow that snow in the big old mountain drifts, I think. There's one time when I couldn't even get down to the docks to go on guard duty. And them poor guys down there in them warehouses that were on guard, they couldn't be relieved there for about two or three days while we was able to go and change guards with it.
What are you proud of with relation to your time in the Army?
I was just proud to be in the Army.
I asked your brother to tell me about you. How would you describe your brother and the things you appreciate about him?
Well, I just appreciate being my brother. We get along great all the time, and we do everything together. And right now, especially since all our other family's gone, it's just him and me. We got to think of places we want to go see before we pass away.
Well, you talk about your adventures, and I guess that kind of started with you both going on that honor flight, Kern County to Washington, D.C. You know, 16 million Americans served, but a very small fraction of them have seen that memorial. And most of the guys who go, they go there and they think about their brother who didn't live long enough to make it, or their friend who never got to see it. To be able to experience all of that with your brother, what did that mean to you?
I just wish they all could have went. And I keep thinking about all the ones that have died since I've been here. I know of several different ones that passed away. And I just can't hardly wait till this Wasco reunion comes up, because I went through high school there. And I'm from the decade of the 40s to 50, the class of 45.
Do you ever tease your brother about the fact that he's older than you, but you graduated from high school 2 years before he did?
No, I don't want to say anything about that to him.
I think we need an explanation for that. If you're almost 2 years older, how come he's class of 45 and you're class of 47?
Well, I'll have to say it was because of the war. I went into the service before I graduated from high school, so he got to graduate before I did. I come back from the war, went back to high school, and then graduated. I graduated in 47.
Did you play any sports there for the Tigers?
They wouldn't let me. I said I was too old.
I was going to say, you know, that would have been, it's every high schooler's dream to come back a couple years later when you're older and bigger and stronger, but they saw you coming, huh? Wouldn't let you?
They wouldn't let me play in competitive sports. No. P.E. classes I played with. I done pretty well then when in the P.E. classes.
Well, you didn't ask me about my football playing when I was in high school.
Well, let's hear about your football career.
You know, usually Shafter and Wasco, they just really have a big time when them two get together. And, of course, that particular time when I was playing, we beat Shafter 33-0. Of course, later, well, they beat us, shut us out too. But it's just a big thing. we enjoyed talking about it.
When you get to this centennial reunion, that's what you're going to be talking about, the time you shut out Shafter 33 Zip.
Probably so.
I know I asked Emery, but I don't know if I asked you. For you, with regard to Honor Flight, what was the most satisfying part of it for you?
That Arlington, when you see all the graves of where the soldier had been buried there that passed away. Now, all them are really the heroes now, the ones that didn't ever make it back.
That is a perfect way to wrap things up today. It's something we should never forget. More than 406,000 Americans died while serving in World War II, including 32 from Wasco, California. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.